You know, I think that the best way to learn about the stuff that we're doing here on this show, Mages and Murder Dads, the only show dedicated to the Baldur's Gate franchise and beyond. I'm Cameron, and I play Ticklevar, the Sorcerer.
And I'm Danny, and I play Balthazar the Barbarian.
I think the best way to learn about some of the stuff we're getting into here is probably to buy a complete set of the early 90s CCG Blood Wars. Featuring all the stuff from Planescape, Torment. No, not Torment, just Planescape the setting.
Mm-hmm.
We need to buy a big cube of starter decks, factory sealed, and then learn the lore via the game.
Let's do it.
I think that's how we have to do it. All right,
pause,
we're going to take a break.
Podcast. Yeah,
pause. We're going to pause. All right, we're back.
We're back. It was a moment for you, but it was a lifetime for us.
Yeah, we spent 6 months getting good at blood. I'm now number 8 in the world at Blood Wars. TSR's card game based on the lore of Planescape Torment.
I'm now the preeminent commentator of that game.
Now, how'd you unseat that Frenchman who was doing the previous commentating?
Well, my butler visited me one night and told me to kill him.
Did I tell you about going to DreamHack? Did we talk about this?
No.
Went to DreamHack. DreamHack, one of the DreamHack locations in the U.S. is DreamHack Atlanta, which is very conveniently located to me. So I went to it. And some things that you would not be surprised to see. Call of Duty Mobile.
Mm.
About 8 inches away from the U.S. Air Force simulator.
Mm.
Where they like hang you from a harness and like let you do stuff and pretend to be the troops.
That's quite a coincidence.
It's weird how like the random roll of the dice just has that happen, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's really strange. But and it was also right beside like a bunch of local Georgia municipal booths. Like I'm going to DreamHack and I want to work for the local recycling plant. I want to do a little job interview on site. That was real. That's real. That's not a bit. It was really
mm-hmm.
weird.
Mm-hmm.
But I also saw like a billion Magic players in a way that I've not seen a billion Magic players before. You know, in a long time since like the last Grand Prix. So like probably pre-2020. It's years.
Yeah.
And can I blow your mind?
Blow it.
I saw a bunch of people there. And it was at the regional championship. So, you know, it's a competitive event. You had to qualify all the stuff. I saw a bunch of people there who have been competing in Magic for like the last 10 years. I've just seen at these events. And I was like, dang, people are still doing it.
Well, I mean, I wonder, is that demographic of people who were doing it 10 years ago, is that just going to slowly make up a larger and larger percentage of the people participating in these events?
No, because it was more diverse than I've ever seen a Magic event before.
Dang.
Like, by a wide margin. Like, by an infinitely wide margin. The gap between the last Magic event I went to that was large-scale in-person and this event is so wide as to constitute its own event. You know what I mean? Like, it's so different. Demography of
when
who
you
is
would be in
Magic.
A pool of 50 players in the Sunday Super Series,
uh-huh.
and it would be like on one hand that you could count the people that were not white dudes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now you need four hands at least.
You need four hands.
Yeah, minimum. No, but there were a lot of people. I would say probably because yes, right? Like the vast majority of Magic players present as like white dudes. And whether they are or not, I didn't interview everyone involved. So, you know, who knows? I can't actually account for everyone, but that's the vast majority. And it often looks like, it's actually not the vast majority. I'd probably say that 80% historically are, right? And then overwhelmingly skewing male, specifically. But not at this event. I would say probably 60% white dude.
Wow.
So, yeah, I mean, still a dominant percentage, but
were there any Gith there?
There were a bunch of Gith Zerai there, and they were meditating.
Mm-hmm.
There's one Gith Yankee, but you know what? Gith Yankee don't play they don't play Magic.
No,
it's not the kind of game for them. They play Valorant.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
This is my like early 90s comedy routine of get Zerai do this, get Yankee do that.
Yeah.
Give Zerai play Animal Crossing. Give Yankee play Call of Duty.
Get Yankee. Oh, is it Call of Duty or Doom?
They play Doom.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. They think that John Romero should never have walked back that ad.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what this episode's all about.
Yeah, the first half of it here. It'll be a split episode. We're going to be talking about...
You're telling me I just spent 6 months learning about the Githyanki and the Githzerai by playing Blood Wars, the TSR official card game, to try to keep them out from under the boot heel of Wizards of the Coast in the early 90s, only for them to eventually end up under the boot heel of Wizards of the Coast due to the dominance of Magic the Gathering? You're telling me I did all of that and only half of the episode is dedicated to the Githyanki versus Githzerai debate?
Yeah, I was kind of doing it a favor... as a favor to you, because the last time we talked about like this area, you didn't seem that impressed.
You know what? Since the last time that we talked about it, I went back.
Okay.
And I finished it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the benefit of recording in time.
There you go. Well, what did you think? What's your overall kind of like, I guess we need to, before we get into the creche, we need to talk about.
You might want to introduce what you're talking about.
Yeah, I need to introduce what I'm talking about. So, there are two ways to get to Act Two. One way is kind of physically blocked by a group of Gith, and the Gith Yankee, to be precise. This was a pretty easy encounter to overcome for Balthazar, because I didn't even really interact with it. I just tooted a horn, and a bunch of ogres showed up, and then I threw javelins at people.
I should have tooted my horn, which I had.
Mm-hmm.
And I just never considered tooting.
Mm.
I received an additional tooting mechanism in the next act and then forgot to use it, too.
Oh,
forget to use the toot.
You got a toot.
I just don't think about using the toot. I'm thinking about Sword Smash. I'm thinking about Glaive. I'm thinking about Magic Missile. I'm not thinking Horn Toot.
Mm-hmm. Got to put it on your hotkey bar. You got to channel your inner WoW player when you get
How
back.
Am I going to finish this game with roughly 2,000 unused potions if I'm using all of my consumable items?
Yeah.
Huh? How am I going to end this game with roughly 8,000 unused spell scrolls? Thank God that I'm in Act 3 right now, and I had 5 different Speak with Dead scrolls that I could have used to speak to a corpse. What would I have done if not that? No, I have, like many people do, I have, I have the, but what if I need it later?
Sure.
You know? And, but that actually didn't happen with the horn toot. I just didn't think about it.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't think about like creature summons in these games that are not associated with like a spell.
Yeah, and I'm almost certain Balthazar ended the game with, you know, he picked up a pouch, he picked up a backpack, like a couple of containers, and then all the scrolls went in one, and all of the potions went in the other, and he ends that game with probably 150 pounds of consumable items, just kind of permanently in his inventory, but no, still remember the toot at least once. Actually, when you toot, they'll fight for you, and you can... do a roll or give them money, and it's not a one-time use. They'll be like, okay, we'll come if you toot it again. So, like, if you have enough money, you can have these guys in a lot of fights.
I didn't even promise them money.
Oh, really?
I promised them bones to eat.
Oh, yeah.
So, presumably, they're eating the bone. Maybe I'll go low to save.
Mm-hmm.
And to see if they just eat the bones.
Well, I think the interesting thing is you can do that on the first one, but after you summon them for the first one, they're like, oh, this isn't that good to eat. And you gotta.
I have a question about these guys, about these ogres.
Yeah.
It's like Grunt, Blunt, and Reginald or something, right? Like one guy's got like a name. I was trying to actually pull the name.
Mm-hmm.
But you can. He's like the smart ogre, yeah?
Yeah, there's a smart ogre.
Now, is he like magically smart, or is he just like the smart ogre?
He is, in fact, magically smart, and you can read his journal. If you kill him, there are two items that drop. And
you read his journal?
Yeah.
He's journaling?
He's, it's some flowers for Algernon stuff.
What?
Yeah, so he ate a mage, and in his stomach is a headband of intellect that sets his intelligence to 17.
Oh. Well, so, it's not really flowers for Algernon stuff. It doesn't kill him.
Oh, no, it doesn't kill him, but he is aware that he was profoundly dumb before he ate that mage. And, like, after he eats the mage, he's like, oh, my gosh, now I'm really smart. I think it has something to do with this mage. But it's a Lump the Enlightened is his
name.
There we go.
It was an oomph name.
But here's the thing. Before he ate the mage, it was just Lump.
Huh.
He has some great lines.
He's a cool guy.
We didn't really talk about it.
I mean, not interpersonally, he's not a cool guy, but conceptually, a very cool guy.
When you're trying to negotiate with him, he has, like, such a good line. I am, by all accounts, a student of higher commerce and extortion.
A student of higher commerce. He's got one of those.
Yeah, he does.
Talks like that.
Mm-hmm.
They give him a lot of bass.
Yeah, they do. They do. But anyway, I called the ogres and I gave them money to get back in my horn, which that's what it feels like. It doesn't feel like I am calling them from abroad. It feels like I am summoning them from a horn like Gwenwyvar from a statue.
Yeah.
I
was going to get your ass. I'm glad you course corrected to that statue thing. I was going to. You think Gwenwyvar comes from a horn?
No,
fool?
No.
All
right, you gotta rub the polish the statue a little bit.
Maybe
whisper at it.
You don't whisper at it. You just touch it.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I ostensibly you had a conversation with these people that I just like murdered from above, and I'm interested in how it goes because you have a Githyanki in your party ostensibly at the point where you have this encounter, right?
I do.
Okay.
And what is Kethric Voss? Is that his name?
Yeah.
No, it's not Kethric. Hold on. Voss BG3. Let me do a little Google here. Kithrak.
There we go.
Kethric's a different guy.
We're going to meet him later.
Yeah. That's why I knew I had to get it right. So Kithrak is like general, you know, it's a title. So mm-hmm. His name is just Voss. And so you show up and there's like a little bridge and there's some Flaming Fist who run up to these Gith. And then a big red dragon comes down, like blows up the bridge, blows up these dudes. And these Githyanki are loving it. They love killing just random people. Lazel goes, oh my gosh, it's my dudes. They're going to fix us. They're going to get this bug out of our bug brain. She runs down there. She like leaves the party. And she leaves the party to the extent that like her backpack appears in your stuff.
Whoa.
Yeah. So it's like, it's kind of giving you the thing of like, this might go a different way, you know? By the way, if you come to this place there's a little bridge above, there's a little gate kind of thing.
Yeah.
There's a tiefling here. And she's like looking she's like, those are the Githyanki shit. She's like a tiefling rogue. Lazel calls them tieflings, by the way. That's funny. And she's like, damn. And I was like, hey, yeah, you want to be careful. She's like, I'm not going down there. And then she says, and I said, well, you want to join my party? You know, because it's like one of the things where you can like talk to people. Maybe they show up at your camp. She's like, hell no, I don't want to join your party. She leaves, runs off. She's going to come up later in this very episode.
Oh, that's funny. If you, little hint, not in either of our playthroughs, if you play a Githyanki, she'll just attack you. She'll just be like, oh, shit, they're up here.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So you talk to her, or she runs down there, talks to these people, and they're like, hey, you're Gaik. Every time they're saying Gaik, I guess it is a slur, right?
Sure.
Githyanki slur, Gaik. Gaik means like, I guess it means Illithid, or like infected, maybe?
Yeah. I don't know,
do they call just the straight Illithids Gaik?
They do.
They do? Okay. Well, so it just means Illithid. So he's like, for the Githyanki, hey, we're going to have to do a little bit of a deep dive on this.
We will.
We spent about half an hour before this episode looking up Gith Yankee lore. Mm-hmm. Gith lore. You want to run it down for him?
Ooh. Well, what are we talking about in 5th edition right now, or should we start at the beginning of
time? Let's start at the beginning of time.
Gith Yankee.
Yeah.
Well, in all Gith editions, there's Gith, right? And Gith are enslaved by Mind Flayers.
Yep.
In the very first edition, Gith used to be humans, like evil humans that made a deal with Mind Flayers, and then Mind Flayers twisted them, much like a Sauron twisting the elf into a new atrocious creature.
It's in the Fiend Folio.
Yeah, 1981. But even in the Fiend Folio, so that got retconned. That's not real anymore. But even in the Fiend Folio, there is some kind of split between the Gith Yankee and the Gith Zerai. Interestingly, in the Fiend Folio, it's said that the Gith Zerai are like basically Mind Flayer, occasionally collaborate with the Mind Flayers.
Well, they have an uneasy truce.
An uneasy truce. Ooh.
Whereas the Gith Yankee wants to liberate. So, you know, the Gith get liberated from the Mind Flayer enslavement. And the Gith Yankee are like, I'm going around the universe in killing every Mind Flayer. Yeah. I'm going to do that so hard that I'm going to get red dragons. I'm going to pact myself with some red dragons and we're gonna do it.
Yeah.
You know? Whereas the Gith Zerai are like, I don't know, maybe we could all like hang out.
Yeah.
So that's the key difference, it seems like, in the Fiend Folio.
But in kind of like over the course of editions, the story is now Gith enslaved by the Mind Flayers. They are liberated. They liberate themselves. The Gith Yankee are led by a Lich Queen, Vlokith. The Gith Zerai are kind of like much more enlightened, but do not collaborate with the Mind Flayers. And so you have this split of the split between them, which is kind of like the central conflict between them is like their leadership and like how they should, you know, comport themselves in their newly liberated state. And the Gith Yankee kind of like are led by Vlokith and the Gith Zerai are not. The Gith Yankee are mean and the Gith Zerai are chill. This is kind of the overall vibe.
They're more chill. I don't think that they are actually chill.
Oh, more chill. I just think they're just more chill. Comparative. They're not chill compared to a halfling.
No.
No.
No, which, not at all.
Which I haven't done a halfling playthrough, but apparently the people in the Discord that have say that like all of the halfling conversation options are just, hey, man, do we really want to do this?
I don't know. I played through the early access as a halfling. I didn't have too much of that.
Okay. Maybe they added.
But also, like, that was in the early access.
Yeah.
It is actually very funny. So, like, the thing that I wrote about the early access for Polygon, I took a bunch of screenshots. This is, like, wait, it was, like, years ago, right?
Yeah.
I took a bunch of screenshots, and they, because there were not that many screenshots actually running around, they just used them in the article as opposed to, like, pulling them off the website or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've now seen those screenshots everywhere all over the internet.
Yeah.
Because people just lifted them from the Polygon article. So it's like my little halfling dude.
It's going to be 2040 and they're going to be deep fried. They're going to be copied.
No, they're
and pasted,
already. So that's the funny thing. They are already deep fried and they're like cropped differently and like slightly zoomed in. It's very funny. I'll like look up a guide or something. Right. While we're doing this playthrough to be like, how to solve Professor Butthole's puzzle of wisdom. And it's like, all right, let's figure that out. And lo and behold, it's my little halfling guy. It's fun. Anyway.
But yeah, so that's the bird's eye view of Gith Yankee. Gith Yankee, Gith Zerai used to both be Gith. You know, now they're different. Now it is to the point where they have different names for their species or quote unquote races, but they at one point were the same people, and it is a kind of political conflict which has hewn them into as populations. And the Gith Yankee, and I guess the other thing is the Gith Yankee live in the astral plane and the Gith Zerai live in limbo.
Yes. The other thing that will matter here that is not really ever said too directly to you in the game. Maybe you can get like deep into it in a conversation somewhere, right? But they, the Githyanki worship Vlokith. They're like president god.
Yeah.
Who,
they're Jill Stein.
Yeah. May she never die.
May she never die.
Whose sweat is the rain of her people.
Mm-hmm.
So Vlokith is like a necro or like a lich queen.
Yeah.
And so everyone's like got to swear fealty all the time. And we're going to learn a little bit about what's going on. But people want to be what? Exalted? Is that the word?
It might
you
be.
Don't know, you don't know about any of this because
well, here's
you don't,
the thing.
You don't have Lazelle.
I don't have Lazelle, and also this next area was just a dungeon for me. So
okay, so that's right. So you don't have the beginning or the ending, what I just alluded to. So Lazelle she's a Githyanki. She's been infected, right? She's got the bug in her brain.
Yeah.
She is all about Vlokith. She's all about doing what's right. And, you know, what according to the rules of her people. And the, like, ultimate benefit to her is to be exalted, which is to, like, transcend your... It's a little unclear, actually, what's going on, but it's, like, to transcend whoever you are and, like, be part of, like, Vlokith's deal, right? So maybe being part of the honor guard, it's a little bit going to heaven, you know, that kind of thing.
You're
it's a
chosen.
Little unclear.
You're chosen by You're your chosen. Deity, basically.
Right. Right. But like what that means is a little unclear, right? Is what I'm saying. That's all to say that she runs up to this group and she's like, hey, I'm infected with the Gake. You know, got Mind Flayer in me. You know, according to subsection 22313,
mm-hmm.
You got to take me to the local creche to rip this thing out of my old noodle. And lo and behold, Kithrak Voss is there on his red dragon to like legit talk through it. Right?
Okay.
And so for me, I have this conversation with him, and he was like, hey, you got the Mind Flayer in your head. We're looking for the weapon.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's like, what is the weapon? Lo and behold, the weapons is like that little polyhedron thing flying out.
Yeah.
Of our pocket earlier.
Mm-hmm.
That's the weapon.
The thing and, that Shadow, the mm-hmm. thing Shadowheart was trying to solve.
Right. Trying to do a puzzle box on.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out what kind of sights she can get shown.
Exactly.
And anyway, so he's like, oh, yeah, you got that thing? All right, Githyanki crew, kill the player character party. We'll see you later. Gets on his red dragon, flies off. They go hostile.
Now, did they do that because they think you have it?
They know. I was like, hey, I got this thing.
Oh, shit. You admitted it. You admitted it. He admits it.
Yeah, I admit it. Why would I not? They got the tadpole. We got my buddy Lazelle here, who's like kind of a huge asshole, but like generally is on the level. She's not lying to me.
Yeah, and I think that this is something.
She's not a trickster priest.
That I'm interested in.
She's like, not a vampire.
As you interact with.
She's not from hell.
Lazelle.
You know what I mean? Like start laying it out.
Yeah, as you interact with Lazelle, I'm interested to see like how your perception of her will change, because I think a lot of people.
Oh, bro, we're already boyfriend, girlfriend.
Wait, I didn't hear about this.
I just haven't brought it up yet.
Okay. Are we talking about it now?
Well, what were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say a lot of people assume that like, oh man, Lazelle, she seems to know what she's doing. She seems to like, oh, mm-hmm. she knows a lot of stuff. She's mm-hmm. like a badass. But I think we're slowly going to find out maybe Lazelle's a little naive about like.
Oh, Lazelle doesn't know jack about shit.
No.
Like, we're about to go to Lazelle's house of not knowing jack about anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like in 5 minutes, we're about to be there.
Yeah.
But no, yeah, we're already like hanging out. And mm-hmm. she's just like, hey, I like weightlifting and punching in the face. You like doing that? And Ticklevar was like, I guess. I mean, you know,
all things in moderation.
All things in moderation, I guess. Right. Sure. And so, so we've got the full nude scene.
Whoa.
Yep.
So did you do all the positions? Minothra and I did all the positions. We did.
Minthara, you mean?
Minthara. We
Minothra.
Did. Minothra. I'm just like just like completely switching syllables.
You just made up a different D&D game. Yeah. That could also be a character in this game. If there was a Minothra, I wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah. I'm just a whole party of Minthara, Minothra, Mon Mothra.
And then just Mothra.
Then just Mothra.
You summon her with a horn.
The girl squad.
That's right.
But yeah, Minthara and I did all the positions. Reverse
Balthazar
cowgirl,
and the gals.
Reverse cowgirl.
Does it show them all?
Yeah. Here's the wild thing. Total cowardice. I have, I have like penis A on Balthazar in character.
I don't
creation.
Have a good like reference, but I believe you.
Yeah, I've got penis A. Never saw my penis A in that sex scene.
I don't think I saw Ticklevar's penis. I don't remember which one I chose. I think I just clicked through it. I think it's a little false advertising.
I think that they're kind of like...
Because you think you're going to be seeing it in every scene, and it just doesn't show up that much.
Well, at the point where they're going to have a nude scene where Minthara is like, you know...
Right. Doing the business.
Doing the business. I was thinking maybe penis A would make an appearance. But it does not.
You think artist on penis A is not getting their due?
No. And apparently after
Artist
Patch 5,
on PSA should have been up there at the Game Awards.
Yeah.
Getting shuffled off the stage like with the rest of them.
And after Patch 5, they actually gave the penises physics. So it's not just the artist. We need like the physics team.
That's right. You need the physics simulation team.
Yeah.
The sex scene stuff is really interesting because on one hand, it's like way more explicit. Like, in terms of nudity. Like there's a full... I don't think we can show it on YouTube, which is interesting. So, it's probably going to be here somewhere, like, in the footage if you're watching this on YouTube. Like and subscribe. Somewhere in there. But I don't think I can show it, because it's like a full crotch shot. You know what I mean? It's not... I wouldn't say... I don't even know the right word. It's not, like, pornographic. You know what I mean? It's not like, ooh, look at this. It's just like a nude creature, right? But it's but there's no nude Ticklevar. You know what I mean? We're only getting him waist up.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. Now, I have shown you an image, I believe, from the end of the game that'll come up later where you, in my previous playthrough, I got like a between the legs shot of my character. And got to see a little package down there from behind, which was a uniquely interesting image that you don't really see all that often in visual media, period.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So maybe we'll see that again, and maybe that'll... But again, I did not see like a full frontal penis at all.
Yeah.
So it is interesting. No penis A, B. Is there a C?
I think so. What really gets my goat is there's like penis.
Everyone comment. This is what get everyone comment now. This is what's getting Danny's goat.
It's true. There's like a real like because there's a penis. There's like default and then penis without a letter, and then we get into like penis with letters. So like I don't know what's going on.
Like implicitly, the first one's like penis blank space.
Yeah.
Penis A, penis B. It starts. It's like when integers start counting from zero.
Yeah, it's. So I'm like, I don't know. I feel like maybe different teams just combined.
No, they don't have good data sharing among the penis teams, the penis teams and the programming teams. I don't know.
Yeah.
Point being, we have done that. You know, we had our little sex scene, our little like Mass Effect with more nudity, sex scene.
Yeah.
But really, it's just about like being mean to one another. And like over time, Ticklevar is less mean because you can't just be mean.
You got to find the middle way.
You got to find the middle. So we're going to find the middle with Lazelle. But at this point, it's just like, hey, we're hanging out, we're chatting. And then also, we're having to kill all of her comrades because we have to do that. Well, she's like, no, don't do that. And then we do that.
Yeah. Well, it seems like you didn't have a choice.
No, they attacked us.
Yeah. Did you, how was that fight?
I think maybe I had to reload one time because occasionally they'll just like, they'll get a turn cycle off, right?
Sure.
And you're just wrecked. And that happens even later. Yes, initiative is hugely important, and occasionally they just like focus down your healer, and it's going to be a lot harder to fight the fight. Mm-hmm. But I think I had to reload it one time, and then do it from there. So not super complicated, partially because I think we talked about this in the last episode. I've just like scoured the world for experience.
Sure.
So I'm like I'm equivalent level to them, and so we're doing okay. But presumably Balthazar just like stood up on the bridge and like threw shit at him.
Yeah, yeah, and especially with the enrage throw, putting them prone is so huge when they have to close the distance because I've got the high ground.
Yeah.
So that's like eating half of their movement when I put them prone. So
damn. Yeah.
Pretty good fight, but definitely a fight that if you have party members, they'll warn you. And you're like, hey, I don't know if we can deal with this. It's when the dragon is still there, but it's basically like the game's way of telling you this is going to be a tough fight, especially for the stuff that is around it, which is
yeah, it might be the tough, like just raw pound for pound, other than the Grimforge, which we're going to talk about here too.
Yeah.
Other than that, it might be the hardest like raw fight.
I think that there's definitely, this is a strong candidate. When we say the pound for pound, it's like what your level would probably be at the time that you interact with it.
Yeah. And I'm also thinking, yeah, because you can walk over from like the Joaquin's Rest or whatever.
Yeah.
Which is like a no combat encounter. And you can even like probably kill all the Zentrum, right? Who are right there too. And you could probably do all that at level four, but doing this at level four might be a nail biter. Might be a little bit hard. Now, did you fight the dragon too?
I did not. Okay. I think that there is a weird exploity way of if you don't engage dialogue, you can save scum. You'd almost certainly have to save scum. It would be very, very unlikely to do it without save scumming. Although I have heard that people on honor mode have done this. You can cast heat metal or a battlemaster disarming strike on Kithric Voss out of dialogue. So like, and if he drops that sword, he will get on the dragon and leave without his sword. And it is like an act three sword. It's like a +3 weapon.
Cool.
Yeah. So I think that I did read about that. Did not attempt it. Not really a part of Balthazar's build, but it's something that I am aware of, which is interesting. But I don't know if there's a way to like actually engage that dragon in this fight.
Well,
I
think it's notable that you didn't tell me about that. That's interesting.
Yeah, I haven't told you about a couple things.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. Very good.
But yeah, after you do this, the way towards the mountain pass is open. And I know you're dying to talk about the Roslyn Monastery.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Rosalind's Monastery?
Yeah, something like that.
Rosemorn.
Rosemorn.
Rosalind.
There is a Y. There is a Rosemorn.
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 I think it's Rosemorn.
Oh, you think the Y is silent here?
I don't think it's silent, but like Rose as opposed to Rosa.
Gotcha. Rosemorn?
Yeah, that's why. Rosemorn.
Okay, so there is like a little extra. Yeah,
I think so. Yeah, a little oomph in there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What a huge waste of time and space. Why is this in the game?
It's really
just put the shit in the Underdark.
I've like messed around in this area after I recorded Balthazar's footage, because Balthazar like absolutely beelined it through this area. I did not have to do anything.
I had a full party and you didn't really have to do anything.
Yeah. You can do stuff, and in fact, like I think if you do it as intended, you kind of have to root around in order to find the key in order to like access this area, or you know, you have to kind of like navigate things.
Let me do some scene setting here first.
Sure.
Right? You get to the what's it called, the mountain pass?
Yeah.
You get to the mountain pass, and it's like, yo, there's a whole big-ass area here. And like when I started playing this game the first time, I went, oh my god.
Well, we have a like literal first reaction reaction on YouTube because like that's right. The first time we saw that.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we so you get there and it's like, oh shit, there's a bunch of stuff here. There's actually not a bunch of stuff here. It's basically just the monastery and like a couple outlying areas. There's like a battle you can do with some undead There's like a person you can talk to who wants to steal Githyanki eggs, because the Kreish that Lysel was talking about, Kreish is kind of like a base, basically, mm-hmm. is the deal. The Kreish is like in this monastery. Okay, cool. So what looks like to be a big space of like jam-packed full of shit, like Act 1 is, or like the Wildlands, whatever it's called, the place we just came from. It's really, it's got like three heat points to it. You can take a big, like sky car,
sure.
over there, like you're in the Alps.
Mm-hmm.
You zoot your way on down there, and then it's like a ruined monastery, and it's a ruined monastery to Lathander, right?
Yeah.
Yes, Lathander. Mm-hmm. Now, you can overhear, the Githyanki, who have set up base here. You can overhear them like bullying some. Absolute cultists who are like trying to come through this area to get to the next area.
Which I think, hey, that's promising. I don't like those absolutists either. Dikkelvar is probably saying.
You know, all things, you know, is it okay to be the bully? Is it okay to, you know, who knows, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not going to get involved. I think ultimately for this kind of thing, you go, it's not, is bullying good? Is bullying bad? You say, is action good? Is action bad? And ultimately, the best thing to do is be in the middle, which is like stand in the middle distance and do nothing. Don't leave and don't go forward and see what happens.
Sometimes doing nothing's the right thing to do.
Yeah. Do nothing is an option you can click a lot in this game. Dikkelvar clicks that option quite often.
Gotcha.
Say nothing, do nothing,
mm-hmm.
stand silently. It's a big part of Dikkelvar's life. They go in, they lock the door behind them. So yeah, now you're right. You kind of have this like little micro dungeon, but it's kind of a micro dungeon in terms of like small puzzles to do.
Sure.
I would say this is like a Sunless Citadel,
mm-hmm.
you know? It's just like some things to do around. There's some creatures. There are a couple places in this game that I think have like very bad level design.
Mm.
Ultimately, I think the level design overall in the game, good. You know?
Yeah.
I think there are a couple dungeons that are really, really bad.
They just drag for you? Is that kind
they
of
drag,
the thing?
They have navigation puzzles that I don't particularly like, meaning that like you have to solve a puzzle to do it. And I especially don't like that go find some shit kind of puzzle. Mm-hmm. Like just go wander around and find these things and then come back.
Oh yeah, that because the I believe that the you didn't even talk to the Mind Flayer in the Underdark.
Nope.
This time, probably because of your bad memories on the first playthrough where he wanted you to go fetch some plants.
Yeah. I had forgotten that.
And you don't like that. You don't like fetch quests.
I don't like a fetch quest, and I don't like a fetch quest in these games, which is like sometimes stuff is hard to see.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine playing this like on a PS5.
Yeah.
And like hoping to God you like find the one item you need on the table of items where when you hit the alt button and it's just a text, you know, like a jumble that appears. Yeah,
it's like you just killed a major boss in Diablo.
And it's worse because, you know, really good design, like in terms of UI accessibility, nothing overlaps one another in terms of like the item labels, which is really good. Bad in that because there's so many, they start pushing far away. So the item might not even be near the label.
Sure.
And so like the, yeah, there are just some things where, although I do think that on, if you play with a controller, I think isn't there like an area around you loot button? Someone told me that.
That might be nice.
That's like not available on keyboard commands.
Lord, I might have to try that.
That's why I was told, like someone, I was at like a holiday thing and someone told me about it. I don't know if that's true or not. I haven't investigated. Anyway, you go around, you find this key, like to get in the door. I think you can actually route around it too. You got to go find some weapons that associate themselves with the different parts of Lathander. Lo and behold, this monastery was a monastery to Lathander that was killed, that was destroyed by Sharins, I think, right? Is that true?
That sounds correct.
I don't know. Let me check to make sure that that's true. Make sure they weren't
attacked by
the Githyanki.
We're definitely going to be dealing with Sharins later in this episode.
They're everywhere. Remember that they had to fight Kethric. Mm-hmm. They had to fight like the army of the undead in the Druid Grove. Remember we saw that thing?
We did.
And that's like related. So yeah, we do the Dawn Master's Memorial Quest in order to, like, get the blood of Lathander. I did do that, which is pretty cool.
I skipped that. I skipped collecting these weapons.
Well, the Blood of Lathander is... yeah, so I hated this quest because it's like a wander around.
Mm-hmm.
Do these, like, little single room things. But you do get the Dawn Master's Crest from that. The Dawn Master's Crest allows you to get the Blood of Lathander. The Blood of Lathander is, like, a really, really good mace.
You can get the Blood of Lathander without that.
I'm sure you can.
I'm going to tell you about it. It's fun.
Okay. I'm happy to hear it, but this I thought this is the way you open the door.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And so I was like, all right, I guess I'm doing this, like, quest around here, and you didn't have to. Now, yeah, the wiki doesn't say here. They were being attacked by someone. And so you can read all of these missives of, like, they're at the door. They're smashing down the door. I think it is the Sharans for some reason, but maybe not. They will, like you said, they're going to factor in pretty heavily in the next section of the game. You go in there, you find the Kreish. Presumably you just played this like a dungeon, right? You just killed all these critters?
Yeah, well, the first thing I did was that I, if you are able, so like, much like the, let me back up, remember the Shattered Temple where you walk in and the goblins talk to you? And it kind of sets the tone mm-hmm. for the whole dungeon, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And back then, I had my Illithid power, and because they were Cult of Absolutist, I was able to be like, just let me through. I figured that wasn't going to be an option with these Githyanki, and I didn't want to be like the solo orc that shows up and like has a bad conversation because I have 8 charisma, and immediately everything is hostile. I kind of want to control when things go hostile.
Sure.
So I use Misty Step to like teleport on the other side of some bars. So I bypass the initial conversation at the front, and I go straight to the merchant and buy some stuff.
That's interesting, because you can do that. I also end up buying stuff. Yeah, there's like, you can go through a window, too.
Mm-hmm.
Did you do that?
Yeah, I believe there was a window.
You can go through a window and, like, jump down. I think that's another way to, like, bypass some stuff. But, yeah. There's, like, weird little critters, Grimishkas
mm-hmm.
up there. Like a real planescape-ass critter.
Yeah, there were some in the monastery as well, I'm pretty sure. Mm-hmm.
So there's that. I also fought some giant eagles.
Oh yeah, up at the top of the monastery.
Mm-hmm. I think it's the only place in this whole game where I've seen a giant eagle.
I think you might be right. And one summons other eagles, like the ancient cool. giant eagle summons just regular giant eagles.
Yeah, I didn't really want to kill these giant eagles, but you kind of have no choice unless you can stealth or something. I guess
I think it's an animal handling the items. Check. Yeah.
I think they just attacked me. I don't even think I got like a, the eagle says don't, maybe they did, and I just attacked them. I don't know. Anyway, we get in there. So you talk to some fellers? What'd you do here?
I talked to the merchant.
And that's it? And then you started slaying?
Well, I talked to the, did you get anything from this merchant? This merchant has like really next level stuff compared to like every other merchant, which I think is a nice touch because of course.
They have like a cloak of protection maybe, and some, they've got some like good old classic utility items.
They've got some great stuff. So they got gloves that give you +1 to attack and set your dexterity to 18.
I bought those for sure. I'm still using them. Yeah.
They have a pole arm, the Unseen Menace, that until you miss an attack, it is invisible. So you have all of your attacks have advantage.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And the description is like, what's hitting you? Which is funny.
Ow.
And they also have the knife of the King of the Undermountain. Which is like a rare item. It increases your critical attack range by 1, which is pretty great. So instead of critical hitting on a 20, you would critical hit on either a 19 or a 20. And there are like more than a few effects in this game that that provide that bonus, and they all stack. So that's kind of cool. But yeah, otherwise, just a nice little variety of magical items. Also maybe some spellcaster gloves, but just nice stuff. So I wanted to grab the Knife of the Undermountain King first. So I spent all my money on that.
That's cool.
Don't you?
I think I just bought those gloves.
Gotcha. Yeah, I won't be using that knife until Act 3 when the build comes together. But it's going to sit in my inventory.
Nothing better than playing two-thirds of a game and then the build comes together.
I know. But yeah, otherwise, I wandered around until I got to a room where a cutscene started, and there was like an Inquisitor talking with some other Githyanki about like trying to find the artifact. And they're like, oh, we got to find the artifact.
Mm-hmm.
And Balthazar went in there and killed everybody in that room, and then got a key to open a magical door. And then I went and met like the Grand Inquisitor, like the guy kind of like off to the side of the complex. And I had an encounter with him, but, you know, at
wait,
what
you mean
point-
Kithrak, you mean Kithrak Voss?
No, not okay. Kithrak Voss.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't have a talk with him. What happened with
you? Do you mean Chirai Orgaz?
do I mean, I don't know. He was just like it was Kithrak Therezin, commander of Kresh Yalek.
Oh yeah. Okay.
That was the person in the first room.
Got it.
And kind of like the one ordering people around. But there was somebody even higher ranked than her.
Yes.
And that person had the Inquisitor title.
Yes. Got it. Yeah, I...
That was Chirai Wargaz.
Yeah, Chirai Wargaz. They got a lot of apostrophes.
The Inquisitor of Vlaketh, which that's...
They said,
J.R.R.
Tolkien, hold my beer.
Yes.
So you go in here. By the way, the first thing you come through, like the first little room you come through, is a prison. Did you see that?
I did see that. There were just some skeletons there.
You know who's in that damn prison?
Who?
That tiefling.
Oh, no.
Who's like, I'm avoiding these shits. I'm getting out of here. She's in there. She's dead.
She got caught.
She got caught and killed. So, anyway, so I went in there. I did the same thing. I had to kind of bamboozle the commander.
Mm.
I had to be like, I got to see the Inquisitor toot sweet.
Mm-hmm.
She said, for what? I rolled a persuasion check. I'm like getting up there now with my persuasion checks, by the way. I think I've got 18 charisma.
Yeah, so you've got a +4 naturally. You've got your persuasion, proficiency. So you're adding like another 3
you know what?
Or something.
I beefed my numbers, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I did an old Danny here.
Yeah.
An anti Danny.
I did a Danny earlier and I like
I somehow gave myself a 17 in my charisma.
Oh.
I don't know how this happened. And so eventually, I didn't do it here, but eventually I took the feat that's like, it's not called this, but it's like liar or something like that, right? To get me the 1 point.
Gotcha.
So I got up to the 18. But also critically and beneficially, it gives you advantage on all deception rolls.
Oh, that's good.
And I think intimidation too. One of the, not persuasion, but like, right. Like lying basically. So it's pretty cool. Yeah. So I'm like, depending on some of the checks, I'm like in it. You know
what
I mean?
You probably got Shadowheart in the party. You probably got the option to like get guidance cast on you.
Guidance. Yeah. I've got eventually after the Underdark. After I helped out the Mon Mothra or whatever his name was, the Siege Master. What was that guy's name? The big fella, Sovereign.
Gotcha. Yes. Okay. Yes.
I got myself there. After I helped him out, he gave me a necklace that's like, just anytime you need it, just huff these chemicals and you'll be good at stuff. And so that just gives you a flat 2.
It's just performance enhancing drugs with persuasion, yeah. Apparently. I think that the implication is you huff some spores, you exhale the spores, and the people around you that inhale the spores are susceptible to your persuasive efforts.
No, because remember they're telepathic. That's how you can talk to them, is like you breathe in the spores and you get a little bit of telepathy going on. So I think what's happening is like you've got this thing around your neck and you like, you know, squeeze a nodule or whatever, and it poops out telepathy, so you can kind of read their mind a little bit.
Okay.
Because they're inhaling. I think that's what's up. I don't know. I mean, it's a fun idea.
Yeah.
It's a great item. Like a good concept item. You could take that, you could put that in any tabletop game, it'd be fun.
That I think that, there are some quest rewards that match so perfectly with kind of who's giving it. Mm-hmm. And like, oh, the flavor of it. And mm-hmm. then, and this is my theory after playing a little bit more since our last recording, mm-hmm. where I like recoiled in horror at the idea of like, wait, did that dwarf give you domestic violence gloves?
That's what I'm saying. It's so.
But here's the here's
think
here's
about
my,
the item you got from Sovereign. Think about how much that clicks perfectly, and then the other one is if they're you know right.
This
That's
is my
I'm
theory though.
Right.
They did the itemization, and then they looked back and they saw, oh my god, we have no monk itemization.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Sure.
I just think it's because there's another point in this game where like you get a reward and you can get like a monk. You know, obviously monk like only ever works for the monk class, and the person that's given you has no connection whatsoever to like, yeah. So I think that might be happening, but
yeah. I don't think it's intended necessarily. Yeah. It's just like a deeply unfortunate procedural moment, right? Yeah. Where like the game mechanics run into the narrative in a way that is so profoundly uncomfortable, right? Mm-hmm. Intended or not, whatever. You know what sure. I mean? Like that kind of doesn't matter. But the effect is nightmarish. But mm-hmm. I go in here. I bamboozle my way past this commander. I talk to the Inquisitor, and the Inquisitor's like, hey.
Hey, pepperonis?
Yeah, you got that weapon we've been looking for. I was like, hell yeah, I got that weapon you've been looking for. Cause like Lazelle knows what's up. She's smart, right? She's mm-hmm. educated. They've been reading books and shit about all this. She tells you about it. Lo and behold, he like gets on the intercom, the interplanar intercom, the Inquisitor does, calls up Vlokith, the Lich Queen.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, hey, Lazelle. You know, Lazelle's freaking out. This is her, like, god queen, right? She's freaking out, and she says, like, hey, Vlokith says, hey, get inside that orb, that dodecahedron you got there. Get in there. Get what's in there out. Go and kill whatever you find in there. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
We go in there, and there's, like, creatures.
Okay.
So, like, we use this interplanar portal, like, this communication device. We put the doot in there, the item, and we zoom on in there.
And it's like a pocket plane.
Yeah.
What's it look like?
No, it's like the astral plane. It's like where we've been seeing the Emperor and shit.
Gotcha.
Oh I mean, where we've been seeing our buddy. Uh-oh. yeah, so we get in there. And there's like a prisoner in there. And I think we are ultimately kicked out. Let me I got to look at some footage real quick.
Yeah, my memory of the time.
You tell me what you did while we're in here.
Yeah, so what I did is I do not talk at all to the Inquisitor. Mm-hmm. I throw my returning pike at his forehead, and then I run away across the bridge, and everyone in that room starts to chase me, and every time I kill one of them, I go invisible, and that lets me get, like, another attack off in the subsequent round, and I kill everybody in that room.
Mm-hmm.
And then after I kill everybody in that room and I go in there, Vlokith appears, unbidden. And tells me, oh, wow, that's pretty impressive that you killed, you know, the very famous Jirai Wawargas.
Mm-hmm.
Noted warrior and inquisitor.
Right.
But are you friend or foe? Are you like, did you bring the artifact as a friend, or are you a thief?
Mm.
And I said, well, I'm not a thief.
Yeah, I'm just some guy.
And and what's really interesting about this is that, like, there are ways you can interact with Vlokith where Vlokith will just cast wish on you and kill you. That is like a thing that can happen in the conversation.
Huh.
If you get like really sassy with her. And I know that Ticklevar did not.
Ticklevar did not get sassy. Ticklevar said, I'll do whatever you want.
Yeah, of course. So.
You're a god. I didn't know you could cast wish. I guess like. Wish does not require you to be around because she's like talking to you through the communicator.
Correct. Yeah. It doesn't require line of sight like power word kill, which is another she has one ninth level spell slot. She's powerful. I'm looking at her stat block in 5e right now. She's got three legendary actions. She's truly very, very strong. Also, I think that there's, like, reading into this, you know, even though she's undead, she's got advantage on saving throws against any effect that turns undead. But in any case, so she asked me, hey, are you friend or thief? And I'm like, hey, I'm just looking for a cure for my tadpole. And she says, I'm going to test you. I'm letting you know, like, and she kind of does a lore dump on, you know, Mind Flayers and the Illithid Empire. And she's like, hey, you need to find the thing that lives inside the prism and kill them. And you need to watch out because whoever lives inside that prism is going to be tricky and they're going to appeal to your trust and that you shouldn't believe them. And ultimately she gives me an ultimatum. She says, hey, what's your deal? Are you going to refuse me and know my fury? And I say, you know, Balthazar, he doesn't like being told what to do. Balthazar just says, well, look, you got to understand that the person in that prism says that if without them, I'm going to die. And then Vlokas says, I will be obeyed. And then Balthazar says, you know, okay, if you say that this person inside there needs to die, but they're saying that I'll die without them. I just don't know what to, like there's no way out here. And then Vlokath leaves angry.
Wow. No one's happy.
No, it really is. Like, you know how they talk about the ideal negotiation.
Can I offer you a solution?
Yeah.
Just pick somewhere perfectly in the middle.
It's true. It's true. You could try to do that. I feel
thread the needle, dude.
I feel like Tickelvar is going to be a lot better at finding, you know, the ideal negotiation is where everybody leaves happy.
Yeah, everyone leaves thinking they won.
Everyone leaves thinking they won, whereas all negotiations with Balthazar ends with only one person leaving.
Yeah. By default.
By default.
It wouldn't be an argument with Tickelvar if more than one person left. You know what I mean? That's an oxymoron.
Although Blacketh, when she leaves, does like there's a rotating orb. Mm-hmm. And like I get the option to enter the prism and I just don't.
Got it.
And I think that because of that, I'm on Blacketh's bad side. Like I made the choice in that moment to not enter the prism. But here's the thing. You did enter the prism.
I did. And I've looked at what happened.
Yeah.
And so Vlokas says, go in there and kill whoever you see in there. I go in there and I'm seeing the astral plane, you know, like with the dream visitor before, right?
Mm-hmm.
Going in there. And he's like, hey, did Vlokas send you in here to do murders? And I was like, I don't know. And he says, I can hear your thoughts, nerd. I can mind read you. I know what happened. Don't do it. And he's like, don't kill me. Don't kill anyone you find in here. And there's a bunch of dead Gith around, too. So it's implying that he's been slaying Gith all day long.
Dang.
And he's like, look, we can work together, blah, blah, blah. So we leave. It's not that much more complicated than that. I have to do a little persuasion of Lazelle, because the dream visitor says, hey, they're going to kill you. Like, as soon as you leave out of this thing, they're going to murder your ass. The Inquisitor will. And he's like, if he doesn't, come back in here and deal with me. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm wrong, that's on me. You can come back and deal with me. And I have to convince her of that. I do a little persuasion check.
Gotcha. And lo and behold, when you leave,
lo and behold, when I leave, he's like, all right, did you kill all those people in there? And I said, well, I don't know. And he tried to murder some. Chirai Wawagaz. And he names me, I had to find the word here. He calls us Hasharlok, which is like exile.
Dang.
Meaning that for the rest of this damn video game, occasionally, my character will go, Tickelvar will go, the vibrator is zibbling. And Yeah, and then Githyanki just show up and attack me. Dang. At random. It's only happened one time, but I know it happens a couple more times mm-hmm. in the game.
Yeah, and I think Balthazar's in the same situation because I refuse to enter the prism.
Mm-hmm.
So Vlokith let the other Inquisitors know. You know, the other famous Inquisitors, the peers of Chirai Wawragaz, Merlach Indurl, that's one, Grambar Diddlerod.
He's the one halfling hanging out with him.
You know, the famous other Inquisitors.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so, and then I fight my way out, and then, because here's the deal, right? Like, the whole point of coming here is that Lazelle wants to go to the, to get the bug out of her head.
Debug brained.
I didn't do that.
Oh.
Yet.
Mm-hmm.
And then I tried to go in the room with, you know, there's a little dude on my map. It's like, hey, go in here. I tried to. There's 5,000 Githyanki in there. There's so many. And I just couldn't. I tried it like twice and just couldn't do it. The action economy is against me at this point. And so I left. Did 95% of Act 2. Came back. Had to kill a lot of Githyanki children, which felt bad. No good.
You know, adolescents, maybe.
Yeah. They're not 18.
They're... Well,
they can't enlist in the Githyanki War.
They're in training for the Githyanki War.
Yeah, but it felt bad to fireball them, and yet Tickelvar did anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And then dealt with that. And then if you get inside of the, it's called the Zathisk. It's like a resonator.
Yeah, it's very healing. Advanced technology.
It's cool looking. Mm-hmm. It's like a big
it looks like a bug.
Bite. Yeah, it's to get the bug out of your brain. The only thing to hurt the bug is a bigger bug. Right?
Sure.
You get in it, and it starts, like, overloading, and Lazelle's like, if she's freaking out, and she's like, if I stay in here, this is going to kill me. And I was like, get out of there! And she jumped out of there, and it blew up.
Dang.
Yeah, so, like, it's not strong enough to heal this bug that we got.
So this was I remember a conversation about this device, because if you stay in there and you do checks,
mm-hmm.
And you, every check you fail is a -2 to a stat.
Cool.
But if you succeed on all of the checks, it'll still blow up. It's not powerful enough to get the bug out.
Mm.
But if you succeed on all of the checks, you get a special ability called Awakened. And it allows you to do any of the Illithid powers that you know as a bonus action instead of a standard action.
Huh.
So now Balthazar can summon a black hole with a bonus action to draw all of his enemies into like a little group.
Because Balthazar is going full Illithid.
Full Illithid. Full, like, every little jar I find... Mm-hmm. I even tried to find Minthara's body after I snapped her neck. Couldn't find it. I think I told you that. Because I'm looking for these bugs to get more bug-brained.
You want the bug.
I want the bug. I can do all kinds of wild stuff. Every time I get an enemy to a certain HP threshold that's low enough, where X equals the number of Illithid upgrades I have, so it's like that threshold's getting higher and higher, they just die and explode and hurt enemies around them.
Cool.
Like a bug pops out of their brain, and bug brain Neat. Hurts everybody around them. And that can cause, like, bug chain reactions.
Because one explodes and explodes the next
it
one.
It could,
and the
yeah,
next one,
yeah.
So
wild
on.
Stuff.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's fun. So the bonus action is really nice. It's going to, like, come in handy, like throughout the rest of the game, but still didn't get debugged. And that's kind of like the other big thing here for me. You can go get an egg.
Yeah, I don't think that's cool, because what's the name of the society?
The Society of Brilliance.
Society of Brilliance. What they want to do is get a Githyanki egg and then determine, is it nature or nurture?
Sure.
They want to raise it in, like, a loving home instead of, like, a murder base
mm-hmm.
and find out you know, are Githyanki genetically evil? They're doing race science over here.
They are.
And I thought that was bad. I just thought that was, like, not a thing I wanted to participate in. So I did not.
Balthazar did do it for money.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry to disappoint y'all, but I don't even think Act 3 is so large, I don't even close the loop on it.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I just don't go in that building.
There's all kinds of stuff in there.
There is. Maybe I'll load up an old save and just kind of when that time comes and just
give us the update.
Give you the update on, you know, which is it, nature or nurture? Hey, let me make a little guess here. I'm not sure if a game with the kind of complicated relationship with race that Dungeons & Dragons has is going to have a great answer to this question.
Now, race determines your basic intelligence and constitution.
Yeah.
But nothing else.
Also, whether or not you can misty step at level 5, that's another thing race can do. We didn't talk about it, but like when the druids in the grove were like, these tieflings, they're devils. They have infernal powers. And I'm like, I'm looking at the tieflings and I'm like, well, at level 3, you can do like a fiery smite. That's like a thing you can do because you're a devil.
Yeah. They got devil blood, dude. So, I mean, what do you? Yeah. Hard to argue.
Mm.
It's extremely funny when we get to the, gosh, I forget what they're called. It's like the Deep Rock Gnomes versus the Gondians.
Yeah, the Svirfneblins and the Gondians. Yep.
No, they're not Svirfneblins. They have like a different. They have a different.
Oh,
like,
no,
clan
I'm
name.
Sorry. I thought you were talking about kind of Wolbrin's crowd versus the Gondians.
Well, it's Wolbrin, but he's not the leader. We'll talk about this when we get to Act 3. But it's the other guy who's the leader if you rescue him from a place that we have not gone yet. And in every part of the conversation, he'll be like, and those damn Gondians! Like, he's so fucking mad. It's just like, they got different subspecies benefits than you do. I don't know what to tell you.
You know what? But the game...
They collaborate.
The game telegraphs this when it's got like a tab on your character creation that says race. You can't go into this being surprised all this stuff comes up.
No. No. No, it's just compromised from the top to the bottom. But let's talk about that. So that's the end of the creche for me.
Yeah.
I'm over it. Killed everyone in there.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like you killed everyone in there.
Yeah.
Proceeded on to Act 2, but before I did that, I also went to the hell this is called.
Grimforge.
Yeah. Which is you gotta take a little boat from the Underdark where we killed those Dwaegar we talked about before who were looking for the boots.
Yeah.
You gotta take their boat back to their house.
You take their boat, you're immediately like another skimmer gets alongside you and they confront you and you have an option to just kick the guy who jumped onto your boat and is questioning you and just start the conversation with an athletic check to kick him off of your boat. If you really want a good bow, don't do that because he drops like the bow of the Banshee, which like has a chance to frighten on hit, which is wild. Like it's an Act 1 bow. It might be one of the best bows in the game just because of that.
Frighten's pretty good.
Frighten condition is so good. You can't move. You can't you have disadvantage on attacks against the thing you're frightened of. Yeah, it's brutal. But anyway, I took care of the fight there. You can also just like you got a couple of options here. Did you even fight here, or did you just kind of lie?
With the guy on the boat?
Yeah, with the guy on the boat.
I was like, I got sent over here to do it. I'm persuading his ass.
Yeah. And you land, and I really like Grimforge, because it gives you, like, the premise of the area very strongly when you talk to these two Dwaegar. Yeah.
When I said that some places have really bad level design, Grimforge opposite.
Yeah.
Impeccable level design.
Yeah, impeccable level design.
It's got multiple tiers, like kind of different things that you're doing at those different tiers, kind of some secret passages that aren't too difficult to figure out. Perfect.
It truly is. I think that if you only play this game once and you went the Mountain Pass route and did not go the Grimforge route,
I got shortchanged.
I think you got shortchanged. I really do. Because Grimforge is on up there in terms of like top five areas in the game.
It might be top five like areas in an isometric RPG.
Period. Yeah.
You know, I'm just trying to think of, you know, there's like Irenicus's dungeon. That's obviously number one.
Mm-hmm.
Grimforge is right there.
It's on up there.
It's got like a variety really of stuff.
It's got all right, of the things. Good. It's got some Gygaxian naturalism. It's just got like the competing factions. So the premise here is there are these two Dwargar. They are not Cult of the Absolute people. But they do have like all Dwargar have like some psionic ability. So they mm-hmm. recognize you as somebody with who's like affiliated with the Cult of the Absolute. They don't know that it's due to bug brain, but they do. Somebody does eventually comment and say, "Oh, it's almost like you got bug brain. It's almost mm-hmm. like you're illithid infected."
Well, I own that immediately. I was like, "I'm a true soul. I'm here to talk to the other true soul. Where's that fella at?"
Yeah. But they're obviously upset at this person named Nier. They've been working hard for Nier. And there are members of, like, you know, maybe not their clan, but there are, like, other Dwargar who are true souls who are down here. And there's tensions.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of give you some shit. They're like, "Hey, I'm gonna take that Nier's the money that Nier owes me. I'm gonna take it out of you." And if you just like refuse, they're like, "Oh, I'm just playing around with you." But the premise here is that Nier, who is like the big head honcho of the true souls down here, they were tasked with like finding a passage, to a Sharan temple, and they're digging around, and Nier is caught in a cave-in, and they are trying to free Nier. And that is like, that's kind of the premise. And there are a lot of different ways. This is a very act one. I feel like this is almost a microcosm of act one and like all of the different ways you could deal with the Druid Grove issue. Mm-hmm. It's replicated here in a much tighter fashion, in like a self-contained area.
Yes.
And you can do this a lot of different ways. And I'm actually kind of interested to see how Ticklevar kind of navigated this situation.
Let's see how Ticklevar did it. Ticklevar went and did some of the side stuff first. So there's like a dude who's whipping some like underground cattle. What are mm-hmm. they called?
Do you know Rothay. What they're
called? Rothay.
You don't like the thay. You just like Roth.
Roth. It's supposed to be Roth. I don't believe in it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah. So he's whipping them, and I talked to animals, and they were like, "We don't like getting whipped." I mean, I didn't actually talk to them. I just intuited with them. I did like maybe animal handling or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, "We don't like getting whipped." And I you know, did one of these little, Ticklevar did one of these little like head nod, you know, like, "You want to take these guys out?" We all go hostile. Rothay start knocking dudes apart. I help them out. Kill the Dwargar. They help me out. They bust into like this next little area, which is like a little temple area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is basically the primary pathway to the forge area. And that's kind of like yeah.
Well, thinking about, yeah, because you got to like go up and then you like walk across the, there's like scaffolding up. There's some like Metal Gear Solid scaffolding up there.
Yeah.
You got to go across. So I did that first. And then I did the forge. And then I resolve Nier.
Gotcha. Well, let's talk about the forge, because we can, you know, even though this is going to be some of the highest level stuff.
Oh, yeah. I'm still using it. I'm halfway through Act 3.
Yeah. Some of the highest level stuff in the act, you know, we can talk about stuff out of order because we've done it all. So the forge is pretty wild. There are several ways you can hear about it. I heard about it from some of the, you know, that disguised manual from the Underdark that I found on a drow corpse.
Oh, yeah.
And basically, it's this big little mechanism that you can, if you collect a mold, like a weapon or an armor mold, and some mithril, you can make adamantine armor by like slotting those in the forge and then lowering the forge's elevator down to the bottom, and then activating like a lever to get magma into kind of the press, and then a hammer, and then hitting a lever again, do a hammer. And I remember it's like an intricate process that you got to do it in the correct order, or it just won't mm-hmm. function.
Yeah, it's only like four steps, but you got to do them right. Mm-hmm. And the first time that I played the game, I did not pay attention to that.
Yeah.
I think I had to ask you. I was like, "What am I doing wrong?" And you're like, "Well, you're not doing any of the steps correctly."
Yeah, you've got to do it in the, like, if you try to hit a lever out of order, it just won't work.
Yeah.
But when you do the finals, like the second to final step, the penultimate step of releasing the lava, because you've got to like lower the hammer onto that press when the lava's there. Mm-hmm. A giant mech, like a giant golem. Mm-hmm. Appears, and it's like the adamantine golem.
Before we talk about the golem fight, I just want to say really quickly, like, the what you have to do in the Grim Forge itself is you have to, like you said, you have to go around and find the molds, and mm-hmm. I think there's like five, maybe. There's a mace,
a sword,
splint mail, scale mail, a shield,
and a shield.
And so you run around, you get those, you gotta kill like enemies and stuff. Then you have to, I think there are three adamantium.
I think there's only two.
Is there only two?
Yeah, I think there's the one kind of
one big lava pile.
Yeah, big lava pile. You got to fight some skeletons to get there. And there's another that is guarded by a bunch of fire imps.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
There's not one additionally down with the fire elemental?
You know, I thought that there was, but I was trying to find it in my playthrough, because ultimately this determines the maximum number of items you can create, right?
Yeah, I think I must have only created two.
Yeah, and I only created two as well. And the last time I looked at the wiki, it was like, yeah, it's in two places. I do think in the early access, there may have been a little bit more at some point, but yeah.
I mean, they're hyper powerful items, so I get limited to two. But yeah, so we get those. And then when you start using it, the mech comes out, the dwarven mech.
Mm-hmm. And
it's a gimmick fight.
It is a gimmick fight. Reminded me of a very particular fight in WoW the first time.
Yeah,
I did it. Where it has to, in order to like really damage it, you've got to have, it's got to be, you know, exposed to lava. And if it's exposed to the lava, so it's either standing in it, or if it kind of stands in it for a second and then leaves, it'll have a couple of turns left of being superheated, basically, where it's malleable and it can be damaged. Blunt damage is the only thing that it's really vulnerable to. Even when it's superheated, it's still going to have like a lot of resistances. And if you want to engage with the gimmick, you lure it, and you can lure it quite easily because it has a particular quality where it will always attack the entity that last attacked it. So you can control its movement and where it goes and who it's attacking with like a level of certainty that you don't really have with a lot of other enemies. You can lure it to where the hammer falls on the press. And if it is superheated and it's on that spot and you lower the hammer down, it does like a bunch of damage. It doesn't immediately kill it. It still requires more than one. Mm-hmm. But I think the trade-off is when you do that, a bunch of little imps appear. And so you have to deal with those.
Mm-hmm.
This can be a really tough fight. I think that if you are high level and you've got like the full rest on the regular difficulty, this is a fight that is pretty doable. And in fact, the first time I did this fight, I think that I like tried it a little bit and then I saw, ooh, it's really blunt damage. So I just switched my melee character's damage, like weapons to, you know, blunt weapons.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did it without doing the gimmick. But on higher difficulties, and like I've tried, like I had a run end on honor mode because this fight is super hard. Just like he's tough. He's definitely a tough guy. He has a big AoE ground slam. He hits really hard. And just oodles of hit points.
Yeah, he's like he's whatever's bigger than large, mega large,
huge.
And so he's like, his attack radius is pretty big. And also, if you're trying to maneuver around him, it's a little hard. This fight was made a lot easier for me.
Mm-hmm.
I think it took me like four times to do it. You know, I had like a couple. Yeah, I just had to like figure out how to do it again.
Yeah.
After I'd done it in my previous playthrough. It was made a lot easier when I found out about half, I guess my second attempt or third attempt, that you don't have to physically touch the like turn the lava on thing in order to make it work. You can just shoot it with an arrow. Yeah. And so you can like lure him out, you know, onto the lava thing, shoot it with an arrow with one of your people, you know, that's got multiple, what do you call it?
Attacks.
Or multiple attacks, or like if you have the same initiative, right? So you can kind of bounce it back and forth. So lure him, get GP, you know, get aggro with one person in the same turn, open it, get him to walk through it during his next turn, and then get on the thing. So that actually like way opened up the fight. It like made it really easy to figure out in the end. But I think it's fun fight.
There's only four fights in the game, including this one, that kind of share this level of intricacy and complexity. Like, it's really like in a class of its own in terms of like a gimmick fight with a very specific set of mechanics in order to like engage with it. So it's kind of a highlight of Act One in that sense.
Yeah, I think it's good.
Yeah,
I think it's also a cool arena because you have to like not stand in the lava.
You do. The way to cheese it is you have one person stay up. Like everybody else takes the elevator down, but one person can stay up, and that person can still throw things, and even things that weigh very, very little will still do like 20 points of falling damage when you throw it on top of
right.
it. And it's blunt.
Right.
So
kind of the penny from the Empire State Building scenario.
Yes, exactly. And actually, because Misty Step doesn't really care about verticality, you can, there are places in that arena where you can Misty Step up out of the arena and on top of the, up to where you.
I would never be able to control the camera in such a way to get it back up on the thing.
It is. Well, that's the thing. You cannot go up there. You have to like change the camera angle on like, you'd have to hit the
tactical
mode to go to tactical mode and like work it around to find the one little sliver of land that you can do Misty Step on.
I think the third time I did it, it was like, you know, I saved during the middle of combat, right?
Yeah.
So I was able to go back really easy and fix it. But I just like straight up killed Tigelvar by slamming the thing on him on accident when I was testing to see if you could shoot it.
If
you could shoot the thing, I just straight murdered him with no benefit. And I was like, all right, I might need to reload on this one.
I love being able to save in the middle of a fight. That has made so much of this experience. Like, remember Yuxaname?
Yeah.
Yeah. Remember, like, having to save well before you were ever even in combat?
Yeah.
And yeah.
I do. Oh. And just having to run around?
Yes.
Yeah. It was bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's not fun.
But yeah, Grimforge is great. What items did you get? You got two items.
Scale mail, I guess. I think I feel like I have three items. I feel like I have the shield, because there is a shield, right?
There is a shield.
Let's check. I've got scale mail.
Mm-hmm.
I've got. Oh, let me look. I'm going ahead. Oh, I think I'm getting confused with the Susser Bark, which I did right after.
Yes.
So I think I just did two pieces of armor.
Gotcha. I do think the armor is a cut above the weapons, because you're going to get plus two weapons very soon in Act 2, but the armor is going to carry you quite a ways, and the armor has like damage resistance, and you can't get critical hitted. It's good. I got the scale mail, and I did make like a longsword. It does have a property that it like... always, like, I think it does extra damage to inanimate objects. So I was like, I might as well have one, but I don't think I ever really use it.
What would be in it, like a chest or a gate?
I think you could use them to like break the rocks blocking near, for example.
Oh,
yeah,
that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of
which, so yeah, that's what you do. So you you go back to the Nier scenario. What has happened is that Trousseau Nier, who is a drow. Trousseau Nier has gotten trapped in a gas-filled chamber.
Yeah, it's
James
really
Bond
like
style.
Cave in plus, in addition to rocks falling on top of me, somehow rocks below me have been dislodged, and now there's like poisonous gas pouring into the room.
And isn't there were some deep gnomes, some Svirfneblin who are all hanging out. And so the deal is like, you want to rescue those deep gnomes, but you also want to rescue the true soul to like interrogate him to know what's up.
Sure. Or the Myconid, the Sovereign, may have given you a quest to like retrieve his head. That's a, like
he straight up said, go kill that guy. And that's that's how I or why I came here is to do that. And there are some different ways to do it. I ended up having just an explosive, because there's rocks, and you can, like, smash the rocks, you can blow them up. There's, like, a side quest you can do to get, like, a better explosive, I believe.
Yes.
To do it. But I just had, like, an explosive in my inventory, and the game prompted me. It was like, do you want to use this specific explosive? And I said, yeah, sure. And so I plopped it down and shot it with a firebolt, and it blew up and opened up. And he rolls out, then you have a big old fight.
Well,
there's a bunch of other ways to do it, but I did it.
There are. So the one thing that's locked in on that cutscene when he leaves is he gets angry at the Svirfneblin. He's like, how dare you be so incompetent?
Punts them into the fire.
And he punts one specifically. And at that point, you start getting dialogue options. And I imagine Tiklvar is probably like, hey, that's not cool to kill like the Svirfneblin. Is that how Tiklvar rolled, or was it? Did you slow play it?
I think he was just like, hey, do you... No, thank you? I think I did one of them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, Nier punts one of the gnomes into the lava. Balthazar doesn't say anything. And Nier starts dressing down one of the Duergar. He's like, how dare you guys took me forever. Look, some stranger has to come to free me. What took you so long, right? And eventually, Nier turns to me and he's like, you know what? These Duergar, they're incompetent. You help me take these on and I'll chat with you.
Yeah.
And then it's Nier and me versus all of the Duergar.
Huh.
Balthazar then quaffs a potion of invisibility and runs away. And the Duergar just slaughter Nier.
Uh-huh.
And then I kill all the Duergar.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I pick them off Predator style.
It's invisible. It bleeds. Except Balthazar doesn't.
Yeah.
I actually defend. I'm looking at the thing now. I defended the...
I figured. So
the deep gnomes.
There are a lot of ways to do it. So if you defend the deep gnomes, it's all the Duergar and Nier against you. If you side with Nier, it's you and Nier versus the Duergar. There is a third option where if you interact with, and I didn't take this on the playthrough, but if you talk to some of the Duergar,
I do know about this, that there's a Duergar who's unhappy with the fact that the other Duergar have allied with the Absolute.
Correct.
And he's a disgruntled worker.
Yeah, it's a disgruntled Duergar, and you can talk to that Duergar, and if you say, hey, I know that you think I'm a true soul, but I used to be, and I hate those guys now, he will have you prove yourself by killing the Scrying Eye. And if you're able to do that without, you know, alerting the Absolutists, he'll be like, well, we've got your back if you want to fight Nier. And then, if you do what Tiklvar did, you can call upon the non-absolutist Duergar, which is like a nice roster of Duergar, including Thud, the Duergar barbarian.
Uh-huh.
So like they will like fight with you against Nier and like a selection of the absolutist Duergar. So it can kind of go down a bunch of different ways.
Well, how about that?
Yeah. But
that's cool.
It still ends for both of us chopping off that drow's head, I imagine.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That guy's, he's an asshole.
Yeah.
He's getting killed.
Yeah.
But I don't like here. This is, can I give like the most annoying gamer's complaint?
Sure.
In the cutscene, Nier walks forward and he's in a very specific location.
Yes, I know exactly what you're about to say.
In order to punt that gnome into the lava.
Yeah.
It's a very specific place.
Can't be anywhere else.
When the fight starts, he has reset back to his position in the cave.
In the cave, which really changes.
Like yeah, you gotta burn a whole turn of movement to get up on his ass. That sucks.
Or you have to cede initiative to him and like let him come out, right? At which point he, you know, casts a bunch of his nasty stuff.
Wait, can you delay your turn in this game?
Well, you can't delay your turn, but when I say, like, in terms of you don't interact with him and you give him the ability to have a turn running out, cast a spell.
I would never. I would never do that.
Yeah. The
never give a true soul a turn.
This is a great battle. It can be hard if you are not careful with your positioning, because mm-hmm. you're fighting next to lava and every single enemy is hyper aware of that.
They know that there's lava there.
They know.
They will punt your ass right off into it.
And they can eye you and know within an inch how far they can push you.
I had that happen. I had a cool thing happen. I had Shadowheart got punched off into the lava, survived a turn,
mm-hmm.
jumped out.
Yeah, no, it's not an insta-kill. It just does a lot.
It does half of your health in, mm-hmm. in damage. But that was pretty cool to like get her out. It was fun.
Yeah, well, I think the first time I played, I wasn't able to get Nier's head because I pushed him into lava.
Oh, you need it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that this fight is the Grimforge fight is the Golem fight is, mm-hmm. you know, it stands out because
his name is
intricate.
Actually Grim, by the way.
Grim. Oh, sure. Of course. It's his forge.
It's Grim's forge. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, that stands out because of it's intricate and it's got the gimmick and, you know, big set piece fight arena, etc. And this is. Due to the multiple factions and the way it can work out, it is just the, you know, just a Baldur's Gate ass D&D fight with some environmental interaction. But mm-hmm. otherwise, there's like a lot of stuff you can do tactically.
There's like a crossbowman up on a balcony.
If you want to, you can have all of your people start up on that balcony, mm-hmm. which is a nice little thing to think about. But you got to worry about some Dwergar berserker popping up there and pushing you off the balcony. You know, I it stands out to me in all of Act One, to be honest. I think it still stands out in the game. I think that, and this is a part of the reason why Grimforge is just such a cool area in Act One and in the game. We didn't even talk about mimics. Just like three chests of mimics hanging out.
Oh, I didn't see that at all.
Oh, yeah. No, little Harper hideout with. Huh. Three mimics.
You think the mimics killed the Harpers?
No, the Harpers put the mimics there.
Damn. Harper trap.
Yeah, it's a Harper trap. They've got a toy chest like in the corner that's like the size of a, you know, somebody's fist. It looks like it's the size of a music box. And that's like the real treasure. So they just put the mimics there to gobble up people.
Cool.
But yeah. No, cool stuff.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is one of the better, in terms of combat design, in terms of positioning, in terms of level design, I think that this is, they were on one over at Larian Studios. I think they did a really good job here.
And you know what? This was for a long period in early access. So it might be that what we're seeing maybe some of the fruits of like a very long
I know it's
process.
Been redesigned a couple times.
It has, yeah. It's been definitely had touch-ups and such.
So there is the Deep Gnomes. When you let them go, there's a dude named Beldron.
Yeah, the person who we freed from the mm-hmm. windmill.
No, that's Wolbrin.
Oh, Wolbrin, sorry.
And I think Wolbrin, he's here, right?
Wait, I think
yes.
we might be...
Yes. Yes. So Wolbrin is down here.
So Wolbrin is not the guy that was on the windmill.
Who's the guy on the windmill?
The guy on the windmill was looking for Wolbrin. Barkus Root
That's
is the guy
right.
on the windmill. And I'm pretty sure that Wolbrin is not here. Wolbrin's been moved.
Looking at his ass right now, my man.
Oh, okay. Well, I just
Here
don't
he
talk
is.
To Wolbrin, probably because
well,
Barkus...
because you don't talk to... Yeah, this is the weird thing. You don't talk to Wolbrin. You talk to Beldron. And Beldron is the person who's like, Wolbrin has found, you know, the Faerunian formula for the shit that melts steel beams.
Mm.
Yeah, like, that's legit. Wait, Beldron's like, look... There's a kind of explosive that only the Deep Gnomes know about.
Rune powder.
Wolbrin found it.
Yeah.
And Wolbrin's over here standing beside him looking sheepish as shit. And literally Beldron says he might be able to flatten the whole Sword Coast. Oh, wait. What? You know what? I'm the asshole here.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. Barkus is here looking for him.
Yeah, Barkus is looking for Woolbrin. Woolbrin isn't to be found. You're 100%
right.
But I couldn't verify because...
I was acting like you were an asshole. I was the asshole.
But here's the thing. I couldn't verify because in my game, all these gnomes are dead. Because if you do not intervene when Nier starts, like after Nier tosses the first Svirfneblin in the lava, if you don't intervene, all of them get got.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's kicking them all in.
Yeah.
But so anyway, so yeah, Beldrun and Barkus are here being like, hey, watch out for Woolbrin.
Mm-hmm.
And then lo and behold, I met Woolbrin later. And let's just say he's out and about. He's doing what everyone wants to do.
That little interesting, you know, sometimes you meet a gnome attached to the blade of a windmill and you go on a journey from there, like a real political drama.
Yeah.
Y'all are in for a fun second act. Let me tell you, if you enjoyed the first six episodes of this show.
Yeah.
I think you're especially going to enjoy the next five. Now, mm-hmm. The next six after that five, I don't know.
Wait, Act Two is going to take five episodes?
Yeah.
All right. Balthazar goes there and kills somebody. Balthazar goes there and kills somebody. Balthazar goes there and kills somebody.
Yeah, you're going to have to. You're doing all the heavy lifting, my dude. Great. In Act Two. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to say.
Great. Good to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well. That's it for this act. Basically, from here, you go into Act 2. We'll explain what that is later. Here on Nier's corpse, I found a shattered lantern. What mm-hmm. could that be about, you think? We don't know.
Interesting.
There's a way to go. I ended up going overland. You can go from the Grimforge to Act 2. I went through the mountain pass.
Interesting. Okay.
That. Yeah. We'll talk about that next episode, because the way you get to Act 2 actually does kind of matter. And changes up how you experience Act 2, which is pretty fun.
Yeah, definitely.
We'll be back in 2 weeks. Oh, wait, go ahead.
No, I was going to tell you, I think I'd take the same way to Act 2. So that'll be
I think it's simpler. If mm-hmm. if you are looking to play the game and you're kind of playing along with us, I would say go the Overland route.
Mm-hmm. But still do Grimforge.
Do Grimforge. Teleport out. Walk the other way, mm-hmm. which is what I did.
Okay.
All right, we'll be back in 2 weeks with the first episode of Act 2. We'll do some introduction there, get the lay of the land, kind of figure out about the first big bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's a game with some big bads. This is going to be Act 2 is kind of about big bad number one,
mm-hmm.
I would say. We'll be back then. Thanks so much for listening. Hit like and subscribe. If you like listening to the show, consider throwing us some money over on Patreon, patreon.com/rangedtouch. You can listen to this on YouTube Music as a podcast if you don't want to watch the video for some reason. And you can also just click a little RSS feed in the description if you don't want to have to go through Google to do that, which makes sense to me. We'll be back in 2 weeks. We're gone.
Ciao. Wise. So sad for my family.